kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Do 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 do
do do do.
You know when y'all do that in my head,
Jacob, I'm not ready. Didn't he just say ready?
He just said ready.
He said he would be.
After God damn it!
Bathroom. So slightly well, off.
Oh, son of a bitch!
I hope he hits the video button while he's pooping.
Oh, I thought his correction of ready meant that he was ready.
Good job.
Well, tough shit for him. He's got to fucking get with the program.
I mean, tough shit for him. He's taking a shit. I mean, we don't want it to be too tough for him.
I mean, he might be peeing. We don't know.
No, he's pooping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's
the free show poop.
In my head,
Jacob,
he poops every time we need to record. Like, the thought of recording for this show scares the literal shit out of him.
Well, I mean, when you're gonna full
say,
of shit,
just talking to you makes him so happy he has to shit.
I don't think that that's the case. I think it scares the shit out of him. I am a strong, independent woman, and that is intimidating.
You are a strong, independent black woman, and you will not take anyone's gruff.
I think he's just so full of shit, he just has to release some, that's all.
I mean, I did say song ends in 40 seconds, we'll call then. I mean, we got a schedule. It's 9 o'clock, we got shit to do.
So does he.
I should just keep all of this.
Yes, you should.
I should.
And then he has to listen to it when he does the write-up and post it on Twitter and Facebooks.
Oh, my Lord. I'll keep everything. Even you going, do, do, do.
And then I burped. That was the terrible part.
Do, do, do. Root beer's here. Prayer hub is here.
I'm here. And that's the most important thing.
Yes, Aki, you are here. I guess, yeah, this is the SML podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Mm-hmm. Now that we're 2 minutes into this thing, Jacob will be here momentarily.
So we say... So he said.
Oh, man.
It really just depends on, like, how much effort it takes for him to shit. How scared is he? Like, is he so scared that, like, he's puckered up and he can't shit? Or is he so scared that shit's just flying out everywhere? We don't know.
I wish I could curse in the show title so I could just call this one, like, Scared Shitless or something.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
But I you know... I don't want to put that on YouTube and then send that to, like, PR companies. Like, hey, we reviewed your game. Our episode is called Scared Shitless. I hope you're comfortable being associated with a game called Shit. Or with an episode title with shit in it. Where we just start the show talking about Jacob shitting. It's literally how we're starting the show.
Yeah. You know, sometimes... Yeah. Sometimes you got to be upfront and honest about what we're putting out here.
Yeah.
And this is the quality content that you don't pay a dime for.
Yeah.
When we had a Patreon, then you could have paid a dollar and got some actual quality content. Now we don't even get the dollar, so you just get this.
Yeah, now we're just including it in the show because we have nothing else better to do.
Yep.
Like, this isn't going to be a long enough episode.
Yep.
It's not like we have,
just
like...
Just for the record, I am checking the fuck out when I need to go to sleep. I don't care. I'm not even born in. I'm just hitting the button and gone. Y'all took too long. Bitches, peace, I'm out. I got a homeschool in the morning.
Oh, hell no. You're not leaving us with Jacob. You're not leaving us alone with him.
No, I will do it. I will do it. You watch me.
You can't.
It'll be his fault, too. Because, and so you'll have to yell at him because it wouldn't happen if he hadn't gone to taking a shit 13 seconds before you press the call button.
Oh, man. I mean, I told him 9. Like, We don't then, start at 9:04 or 9:05. I mean, sometimes we do.
That's, by that point, we have already mentioned Game Pass 7 times.
I know, seriously. Speaking of, should we talk about Game Pass?
Let's go ahead and talk about Game Pass. Fuck
it. Game Pass is... We don't
need to talk about it anyway.
Game Pass got a handful of games this week.
It did.
It did get a couple of games. Like, there wasn't even an official announcement this week, which I was waiting for one today, and it never came. But,
they did tweet. I retweeted it.
Did they?
Yeah, I retweeted it.
I did not see it.
Pay attention, Joe. Keep up. I'm with it. Where are you? In the bathroom with Jacob. That's
I am in the bathroom with Jacob. Oh, we're playing swords.
Oh, you're sword crossing fighting streams. In the
night. Oh, my. Yeah. That explains why you haven't changed the camera over yet on the stream yet.
Oh, whatever. I thought I changed it. I must have changed it back. Oh, well. What are you going to do? There you go. But yeah, a couple of additions to Game Pass this week. PC and console both got the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Stranger Things 3, the game. That's pretty interesting. Hot Shot Racing, which we will be talking about later on in the show. Black Desert returned to Game Pass, and then PC got Disgaea 4 Complete.
Very nice.
Yeah, and speaking of PC Game Pass, it is officially leaving beta, and the price is going up to its normal price of $9.99 a month. So if you've been enjoying that $5 Game Pass on PC, maybe it's time to just upgrade to Game Pass Ultimate and pick up an Xbox.
Yep.
Pick up an Xbox Series S.
Because it's going to be incredibly affordable.
Yeah, we talked about it last episode, but you know, it's worth mentioning again that Xbox officially announced the Xbox Series S this week. It's still a next gen console. It is all digital. It can fit inside a Series X, and it's only going to cost $299.
It is unbelievable.
It is
unbelievable. It's so tiny. Did you see the pictures of it? I believe it was Austin Evans. Austin Evans' YouTube, where he posted a picture of it against a Super Nintendo system, and it was only like maybe 2 inches bigger total.
I did not see that.
That's awesome. So fucking cool to just like, because that's, I mean, we're old folks on this show. And so we remember how big a Super Nintendo legitimately was, you know? And so, like, you see a next-gen console and know the power that it has within it and see it at that size, and you're just like, fuck.
Yeah, it is. It's more powerful than a PS4 and, like, half the size.
Yeah, it's
And that is insane. By the way, Jacob's here. How are you doing?
Oh. I'm better now that, you know, I finally got to finish my bathroom break before joining the podcast.
Well, you need to get your bowels on schedule. This shit starts at 9. Right, your shit starts at 8:30.
All right. Well, before the podcast, I was just like, oh, well, now that one of my games is, like, you know, out for sale, I'll finally see if online's working for it. And it was. So I played a few matches. And I'm like, oh, it's 8:55. I still have a couple minutes to go to the bathroom. And then boop, 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 boop,
no, boop, boop. No, boop, 9 o'clock is when it went boop, 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 boop.
Whatever, all right? So anyways, there I am sitting on the toilet, you know, trying to get my poop out. And then all of a sudden, boop, 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 boop. And then my poop's just like,
shit.
But then it's just like, yeah, all right, I don't feel like coming out now.
Yeah, stage fright.
Your poop got stage fright, yeah.
Yeah, stage fright. Oh, shit. Literally. But yeah, the Series S, it was announced, and they also confirmed the Series X is going to be coming same day, November 10th, for $499. What?
I just love that the S looks like a fucking subwoofer.
Yeah.
Like, they all look like other things. Like, The X looks like a fridge, the S looks like a subwoofer, and the PS5 looks like a fucking router. It's like, this is fantastic. we're just getting new appliances, that's all. just very small ones.
I love seeing, like, the one site put out 3D models comparing all of the next-gen consoles to each other, size-wise.
Oh, IGN actually has pictures of the Xbox Series X and S together with other consoles.
Yeah, but they had it with, like, side-by-side with a PS5.
Oh, now that's like a skyscraper against
it was ridiculous to see the comparison, to see how big the PS5 really is. Like, this thing's going to be a monster when it releases this fall.
Yeah.
It's going to take up a lot of space in your TV cabinet, entertainment center, whatever you want to call it.
I had something I was going to say. Ninja. You know, I'm going to be that person for a second. The PlayStation 5. Aren't you always 5? That
person?
No, because I'm a beacon of joy, you motherfucker. Shut up and listen. But, like, the PlayStation 5 is arguably less powerful than the new Xbox, correct?
Yes.
Why the fuck is it so big?
I don't know. I don't get it.
This is what I'm flabbergasted by. Why the fuck is it so big?
And that's what she said.
And if rumors are to be true, Sony is apparently scrambling that Xbox announced the Series X at $499 because they were expecting apparently $599. And Sony doesn't know how to respond.
Shitting their pants and dealing with it.
Oh, man. For once they lose on the price one.
Yeah. We'll see. Rootbeer is pointing out that Sony's hard drive is like twice as fast as the Xbox, so Sony does win in that department. It just comes down to if games are going to utilize it or not.
Yeah.
And none of them have like enough
haptic
memory.
The haptic triggers on the fucking controller. It's cool, but how many people outside of Sony developers are going to utilize that stuff?
Similar to the... Doesn't the controller have like a touchpad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
who the fuck uses that?
There's not many PlayStation games that really put the touchpad to good use besides using it as an extra button.
Yeah.
Or so, two buttons, because you could use each side as a button. It's just pointless.
It's one of those that it's like, and there's a whole lot of really, like, if you want to get down into the gigabytes per second thing. Okay, but I mean, like, it's a bigger number, but it's such a small difference in what you're actually going to see as far as loading in goes.
I forget
what game it was. There was something, and like, the Series S loaded it in 12 seconds. I don't even remember what it fucking was now.
Spider-Man.
No,
they did that with Spider-Man or something.
That's PlayStation.
But Spider-Man's not on the Series S.
Sorry, I totally spaced out.
Terrible.
I'll just start saying random superheroes too.
About HD Rumble and how awesome that is on the Switch. You know, like Santa Tracker. We talked about that last episode.
The thing is that, like, unless it gets adopted across the board, it kind of just becomes a cool gimmick that gets undervalued.
No.
And the cool gimmicks are always just gimmicks, and they just shouldn't fucking exist. Save everyone
time. No, here's the thing, like, I really do think that there are certain things that start off kind of gimmicky that have benefits that should be adopted widely across gaming. I think the option for voice input and things like that should absolutely have just gone. Everybody should have went, shit, we should have had that from the beginning. You know? Things like that are accessibility features. And a lot of times, the gimmicky stuff starts off as an accessibility feature that they kind of try to make fun to convince people who don't need the accessibility feature to use it so that they can justify putting it out wider. Which is kind of what happened initially with the adaptive controller, and then they were like, well, fuck it, we just throw that out the window and say, hey, look, people need it. You know, you're not going to get your return on investment, but it's good marketing. There's like a fine line between just going, oh, it's a gimmick and whatever, and this is a mechanic that should be widely adopted.
The
share button was a good gimmick, and I agree. It was. It's useful, and especially in a time when people are, you know, just everybody pushes everything to their social media right away. The share button makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know? it was a great idea. Nintendo has a screenshot button on the Switch. Xbox Series X, their new controller has a share button. So that was definitely a good idea on Sony's part.
Yeah.
I was definitely thinking forward. Back to the news, though. November 10th is still a big day because Gears Tactics is finally hitting console on November 10th alongside the Series X and S.
Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed Valhalla hits that day too.
Well, I was gonna get to that.
Well, no, but I don't want to wait Andy for Fusa it.
Like a dragon.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that. You know, there's more news that I have.
No.
Yeah, but you're keeping the cool stuff saved back, and I just want to talk about the cool stuff now. I didn't get into Gears Tactics, so.
Okay, what cool stuff do you want to talk about, Cole?
Assassin's Creed Valhalla is coming out on November 6th.
Yes, Ubisoft has updated. Ubisoft has updated their release schedule for Assassin's Creed. It is coming out on the 10th now. Ubisoft announced a couple of other things today. They had a Ubi Forward event, and the important things were they announced Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time remake,
which that got leaked earlier than the thing though.
Yeah.
Graphically, it is so meh looking.
Yeah, I was
expecting so much more.
I
didn't care.
This has got to be $30 tops.
I love Prince of Persia, and the thought of going back and playing it again, I'm like, fuck yes, bring it on. And then I saw it, and I was like, where's the remake? Where's the remake? Though?
Yeah.
This looks very similar to what it was 13 years ago.
If they just ported all this crap, but put all the Prince of Persia games as like one thing, just on like one or two discs, whatever it would take, and was like, here you go, I wouldn't care if it was just a straight up port, because I've always wanted to play all of them, and I've only played like two, and not even completely, because they were friends. So like, if they were just like, here, $60, you can have the entire fucking Prince of Persia thing, I'd be cool with that, even if it kind of looked like ass, just so I could finally fucking play it. Oh, but it looks bad. So bad. I saw that, I'm like, damn, they didn't do anything to that.
I mean, it looks better than it did. There are people, you know.
Does it?
Yes, really? It looks better than it did. People are always like, oh, this looks like PlayStation 1 graphics. Look at a PS1 game for real and then compare it to what you're looking at. It's people just, I hate when people just exaggerate so badly like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like a PS1 game. No, it doesn't. Shut the fuck up. Outbreak it's
definitely improved.
Yeah. It's not what it could be.
What it could be.
Not at all.
And I have very much decided that I was super spoiled by the Spyro remake, and I just expect everything to have that giant of a leap in quality now that I'm just like, if it's not, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
No. There was some other stuff at the Ubisoft event. Riders Republic is a new IP from Ubisoft. It is a massively multiplayer action sports game with snowboards, skis, wingsuits, bicycles, BMX, coming to Xbox One, Series X, PS4, PS5, PC, and Stadia in February. I know Carnage is excited about this one. This one looks weird.
This looks very much like it's catering to the Trials crowd.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not surprised to hear Carnage is excited.
Yeah, he's psychotic. Of course he is. Or, I don't know who hurt him, but someone hurt him very deeply as a child.
And then I think the biggest news of the Ubisoft event, Jacob, I know you're excited about this.
You think that's exciting? You can feel my nipples.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game complete edition is coming holiday 2020 to Xbox One, PS4, Switch, PC, and Stadia. So everybody will get to play Scott Pilgrim once again.
Yay.
Hooray.
Finally. I'm excited. Yeah. And I hope that they will just like open up the marketplace for 360 and PS3 users again, like so they can get in on it or at least get the DLC that, you know, we're missing.
That'd be nice. It'd be nice, but we'll see what happens. I'm sure they had to jump through hoops to get this re-released the way it is.
Maybe, but I don't know. It sounds like it was like a meeting with Brian Lee O'Malley and that was it. So
who knows?
But yeah, I'm super fucking stoked and fingers crossed we get a physical edition through like limited run games or something.
I'll warn you now, if we do, it probably won't be on Xbox.
Oh, crap, right. Man, every time I say that, like, I forget, and then you burst my bubble, and I'm like, ah, man, Joe told me that before, too.
I mean, maybe Signature Edition will pick it up. They've done a few, I think, aren't they? I think Signature did Streets of Rage, if I'm thinking of the right company.
Watch me think of the wrong company. You showed it to me before, like, you shared a link with me showing me Streets of Rage 4, so that might be it. I don't know,
but yeah, you know, there's an outside chance we could see a physical, but I wouldn't get your hopes up. Something to get your hopes up about, though. We talked about Game Pass a little bit earlier and some of the games that came to Game Pass this week. There's going to be a whole bunch of games joining Game Pass this holiday, and they're all from EA because EA Access is joining Game Pass Ultimate.
This was not what I expected.
Holy shit.
I take that back. That's not entirely true. I remember making an offhanded joke recently where I was like, NBA 2K20 and Game Pass, why don't they just go ahead and gobble up EA Play now? And I made it as an offhanded joke. And then they announced it and I was like, oops.
I think this is huge news. Game Pass has already been like the best fucking value to begin with. Over 200 games to play. With Game Pass Ultimate, you have the PC lineup, you have Xbox Gold privileges. They have those perks that they're doing now. And now EA Access too.
It's honestly really good. That's cool. You know what though? It has me wondering. EA and Xbox are very much marketing butt buddies, and that's all well and good. But also, so is Xbox and Ubisoft. And Ubisoft announced Uplay for PC, Uplay Plus, but they haven't mentioned it for console at all. And now I'm sitting here going, are they going to gobble that up too? I think it's a little harder sale, though. Because Uplay Plus on PC is $15 a month. So it's a little harder for me to attach to the idea that it could happen, but it could happen. It could. They legit have, I mean, look at how many Ubisoft games are games of gold. Like,
true. A lot of Assassin's Creed games.
I mean, it's every out of 12 months, four of them, at least, are going to be an Ubisoft game.
Rootbeer says the only good EA games are Feh and the Unravel games.
A Way Out, Plants vs. Zombies.
Kingdoms of Amalur was an EA game.
Titanfall.
Rock Band was an EA game. Star Wars
Battlefront.
Yeah, there's some good ones. They're out there.
I'll take EA over Activision.
You know. You know,
I like how we all gave a collective.
You know, but I don't know. Like, I want to attach to the idea that it could happen because I think it would be fucking incredible. Can you imagine getting the announcement that Assassin's Creed Valhalla is launching into Game Pass day one?
Oh my God! Don't
stop and think of that. Like, clearly it's not going to happen.
No, that's wishful thinking to, like, the nth degree.
But to even think of it, like, that's shit that with enough marketing prowess, isn't exactly like Mars anymore. It's more the moon now. You're not shooting for Mars, you're shooting for the moon. You know? Think about it.
That's yeah. not going to happen.
It's not it's impossible. Not.
It's only improbable. Sure. It's not impossible. But I mean, like, that's like me saying, like, well, you know what?
What's I'm going to go off. Assassin's Creed in 2 years. That one could launch into Game Pass. What's to stop it?
Probably lots of legal and
money.
You know, money.
Money is your only issue. And does Microsoft give a fuck about money?
I don't know. We'll see.
Probably. It's an interesting
if they proposition. Wanted it bad enough, if they managed to rope in EA to be like, put your shit in Game Pass, how far off is it to think that they could rope in Ubisoft, considering they already have such good marketing foundation with them?
Do we even know if Ubisoft had plans to bring that to console to begin with? Or is
there has been no mention of it whatsoever. It has just been radio silence.
So it's all complete speculation at this point.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, I mean, given that they have the similar marketing deals and similar marketing arrangements, could you imagine if something like that happened?
That'd be crazy.
I mean, I can imagine it. I don't think it's going to happen, but...
Well, you know what? I can imagine that you're going to show up for a show on time, but that's not going to happen either.
Yes, it has.
Name me once.
Oh, not my God. In other news.
I was about to say, before we switch over to that, I would like to say I really do enjoy all the PlayStation fanboys being super salty about the whole thing about EA Play coming over to Xbox Game Pass, because they're just like, ugh, it's not even worth it. Like, there's nothing good. It's just like, dude, shut up. Like,
you have to remember, EA Play on PlayStation is like half of what we have on Xbox because they don't have backward compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of shit that they miss out on.
Oh, man. So they're even saltier than I thought.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, in other news, this is an interesting crossover of sorts. Minecraft on the PS4 is getting an update later this month to enable PlayStation VR capability.
That could be really? Fun, but also terrible.
Yes. Minecraft on PlayStation VR. So it's interesting that Microsoft is like, let's dedicate some extra resources to PlayStation VR. That's really, really cool and interesting. And I wonder if they're going to dabble any more in VR.
I don't know. I don't think they end up. I don't think they will. It feels like Microsoft has mostly given up on VR at this point. So I think they're just trying to give PlayStation users a little more benefit of the stuff that the PlayStation can do, since the PlayStation is still focusing on that stuff.
No. I don't know. Nintendo announced that Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity is coming to the Switch November 20th. I love when Nintendo's like, hey, a new game is coming out, and it's coming out in 2 months.
No. Yeah.
Or like in the case of Mario, the 3D All-Stars, where it's like, hey, new Mario game's coming out in 2 weeks. So I love when Nintendo does shit like that.
It's supposed
to be set in like the Twilight Princess. No, what the fuck? I'm blanking. Breath of the Wild. Oh my God. Yeah. I blanked on the like Switch one. Oh my God. Brain fart over here. I'm doing great tonight. How's everyone doing? Everyone doing good tonight? Everyone doing wonderful?
I mean, I have to be in a conversation with Cole, so no, I'm not doing okay.
Bandai Namco is releasing a new Pac-Man. What?
I did not see that, Root Beer. Drop a link. I am interested in knowing more about that. But some cool news. CD Projekt Red confirmed that The Witcher 3 will be coming to Series X and PS5 with ray tracing and improved load times. And they're doing the awesome thing and making it a free update for all current owners.
Nice.
So yeah, on the flip the side, Control. Is,
when are we getting Skyrim?
I'm sure it'll happen.
Wait, eventually. So what game? What game's getting an update?
The Witcher 3.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. I own that.
Yeah, it's good shit. And apparently it doesn't matter which version of The Witcher 3 you own, you're getting the complete version on next gen.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you don't own any of the DLC, Merry Christmas, I guess.
Yay.
Yay.
You just have to buy yourself a new console.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, you got the new version of The Witcher 3. Only $600.
Nah. Worth it. On the flip side, Control, the Ultimate Edition released, and to nobody's surprise, it is literally just the game and DLC that's already released packaged together with an entitlement for the next gen upgrade. Oof. There is zero difference. It is not a separate game. It does not require separate development. It is all bullshit from 505 Games and Remedy. And it is disgusting. And the crazy thing is, on PlayStation, people who owned the game and the season pass were getting an entitlement for the Ultimate Edition, and 505 reversed it.
Oh, that's
wow.
And removed their entitlement.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So 505 are dicks.
Yeah.
Wow.
That makes me sad, because I really like Control. And
So if you want the next gen version, you gotta pony up for the Ultimate Edition for $40. No matter if you already own the game and the DLC, I own the game and the first DLC, and after I heard of the news, I changed my mind on buying the second DLC, and I am not buying the Ultimate Edition either, because 505 are dicks, and I'm not gonna support that shit.
Yeah, see, I was going to buy the fucking season pass, and then after I added that to my fucking wish list, like, not even 2 weeks later, this came out, and I was like, oh no, fuck that. Mm-hmm. This is a waste of fucking time. I'm not going to waste my money now. I'm like, I really like the game. I really want to play that DLC, but I also don't want to turn around and re-buy the same fucking game. That's not cool.
Yeah, 505 need to get their shit together.
At this point, like, when I do eventually play it, it's going to be on the Xbox Series X, so I don't have to worry about all this crap, and it's going to be on a major sale. Like, I'm talking like 70-80% off, like, because I'm just like, I'm not buying this at full price. Not,
yeah, I might
not if you guys are going to be dicks.
Like that, too, yeah.
Like, you will get my $10 and nothing more.
Codemasters has announced that Dirt 5 is getting a delay to November 6th for Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Series X and PS5 are still set for later this year, in Stadia for next year. So Dirt 5 is launching closer to the release of the Series X now. I wonder if that was intentional, or if it was just they needed more time for polish.
I would assume more time for polish. If they were going intentional, they probably would have went for the 10th as opposed to the 6th.
True.
So,
CI Games announced new development studio named Hexworks that will be working on Lords of the Fallen 2. So that game is still happening, I guess.
Oh.
Didn't I play like the mobile thing of that years ago?
Huh?
Maybe? Possibly?
I think so. It's like where you run around and like you're just killing bosses the whole time, right?
Pretty much, yeah. It's a Souls-like.
Okay, yeah. All right. That was a fun game. I'm interested, but I don't know. I still like, I own the console version, but I never got around to playing it, so I don't even know what that's like. So I don't know.
It is a competent Souls-like. It doesn't do anything groundbreaking, but it's solid for what it is. If you get it on sale, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I did get it on sale. I think it was like $6 for the complete edition.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Never
good then.
Never. Yeah, I never played it though. Because, you know, I have to do my Hostess Club in Yakuza.
Trust me, I know exactly how you feel. My backlog. Oh my God.
We don't talk about backlogs around here.
That's a bad word.
I think Joe's the only one who has a bigger one than me at this point.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, phrasing. We're not doing phrasing anymore, I guess.
I've never worried about phrasing. Y'all can be as perverted as you want. I have the biggest E-peen in the room. It's fine.
Carnage dropping by asking if we talked about the UB show. Yes, yes, we did.
We talked about the only important part of it.
Sadly, I actually missed being able to watch it. I was sick all morning.
Oh. So, yeah, it happened in the afternoon, so...
Yeah. I snuck and watched it while my kid was in class.
Yeah, I stopped being sick around like 6 p.m., so...
You're just full of excuses tonight.
Yeah.
God damn you.
Well, Aki, it's morning between 12 and 4 p.m.
Yeah, I'm usually... I wake up on anywhere between noon and 3 p.m. She is correct.
Hey, I live that life, too.
I went to sleep at like 7:40-something this morning. So.
Oh, my Lord.
What did you get for watching the Ubi Forward or whatever the fuck it actually was called? Because I heard you were going to get stuff for watching it live.
Yeah, fuck if I remember. No, it was all small in-game stuff. It wasn't like a whole game or anything.
Okay, then it wasn't going to be useful to me anyways.
Nothing.
I didn't know you were even getting anything for watching. I didn't hear about that. Oh.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know, a hat in this game.
Exclusive Jeopardy shirt.
There's some shit. Oh, an
exclusive Jeopardy shirt.
You know.
Oh, I don't know. I just made that up.
Oh.
I'd have been cool with a hat in a game that has customization. I like that kind of stuff.
I was legit excited about a Jeopardy shirt. I was like, wow. That's actually kind of cool that they have that they're giving attention to Jeopardy of all games. No, fuck my dreams. Poor Jeopardy. Anyway, last bit of news I have is that GameStop announced they will be shutting down between 400 and 450 stores, up from the previously announced 320 in March. So it's going up 100 there. That sucks for GameStop.
They also had to sell their corporate jet.
Did they?
Yeah, it apparently sold for $9 million. And the best part is like, because it was some game reporter who was reporting it on Twitter, and people were commenting about having used to work at the GameStop headquarters, and they were like, everyone was just like, it was the dumbest fucking purchase ever. Because we're like 2 miles down the road from Dallas-Fort Worth airport. So it was just like, why do you need this? Like, you could have just saved everyone a ton of money by just popping us on regular air flights. But no, we had to have a corporate jet, didn't we? So.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
I
poor GameStop. Womp womp. Rupert saying Ninja signed to Twitch again. Oh, man. I don't
care. There goes all our viewers.
I don't get that, honestly. I don't think he's interesting to watch. I think he's kind of irritating. And the game is just so meh. I don't understand why everyone loves him.
It's tens of thousands of viewers. I'm lucky to get 10 viewers.
We have 10 viewers right now.
I'm showing 9 on my end. So
I got 10.
I don't even understand
viewers.
Go team.
Is that 4 of them are right here on the show right now?
Yeah.
No comment.
Aki isn't even watching.
Two-digit hype, yo.
I don't believe you.
I have it up. It's my fourth tab currently in this window out of six windows. It fluctuates because it's the last one on this, and I'm on Imgur, so I keep opening new tabs, and they go in between them. So,
so glad you're paying attention to the show.
This is the first time I've been on Imgur in like over a year.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, anyone have any other news?
No More Heroes 3 got delayed.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's a bummer.
Oh my god, wait, you actually read the Facebook page for once?
No, I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, fuck you. Got my hopes up.
I don't care about you, Jacob. Come on.
I know.
So yeah, any other news? Anyone? Or are we diving into reviews?
Let's do this.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I guess.
Let's do reviews. I'm good. I don't do news. I don't.
No time with some relevant news that apparently Mafia Definitive Edition changed release dates. What is the new release date on that No Time? Because that is somewhat relevant to our interests.
Do I get a delay?
It's never releasing like in November.
Ah, fuck.
you still got to talk about the first two games or the second two games.
Fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, first game to talk about tonight is Mafia Trilogy, co-provided by 2K for the purpose of this review. Developed by Hangar 13, published by 2K, released May 19th on Xbox One and PS4 for $59.99. Be immersed into the brutal world of organized crime spanning three eras of illicit activity in America. For the first time ever, play all three crime dramas in the Mafia franchise in glorious 4K and Ultra HD detail, including the built from the ground up, faithfully reimagined edition of the critically acclaimed Mafia, releasing September 25th, allegedly, but it might not be.
Oof.
Cool. Mafia 2 got a remaster. Mafia 3 got, I don't know if it was
reintroduced.
Reintroduced. Okay.
That was what I saw on some of the marketing shit. And I was like, I guess I'm rolling with that.
That works. Mafia remaster. The first one is not out yet. So we're not going to be discussing that one yet. We will be revisiting this in the future, but tell us about Mafia 2 and 3.
So I got to tell you, like, I am pretty vehemently against playing games out of order. And this was super stressful for me to play 2 and 3 when 1 isn't here. Now, I could be like a decent reviewer and go back and get the first game and play it as it was. But fuck that noise. I don't have time for that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I will play it whenever it hits my console.
Well, I don't think they're that really intertwined, are they?
Well, I'll get to that in a second, why I don't know the proper answer to that.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to focus too much on the stories of Mafia, and there's a reason for that. The reason for that is because, A, I didn't get to experience enough of it to really give you a good detailed story, and also, B, it's been out for fucking ever. Either you know it already or you don't.
Yeah.
For gameplay, it is a third-person...
Mafia types.
It involves some dude coming back from a war and getting involved in the Mafia, and it's then organized crime, because Mafia. So... I can't even remember the guy's name. That's how, like, I was so frustrated with my time with this game.
It's not a good sign.
It's not, and I feel bad about it. And I feel even worse because, let's just go ahead and pull the band-aid off. The game played like shit for me. Okay? Oh my god. I don't know. I remember how I said earlier in the show that I have really high expectations for remakes because Spyro was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mafia 2 didn't quite hit it. And I feel bad for it. It looked good enough. You could tell there was definitely some work done to it. It looked improved. But I had a lot of issues with it. It and 3 as well. 2 suffered from just constant heart crashing. And I've got to be entirely honest and say that the Grand Theft Auto / Saints Row / go out and cause mayhem and get into trouble kind of gameplay is not really my favorite. I'll play it, but it's like, I'm not breaking my neck to get into this, you know?
No. For shame.
It's just not my kind of genre. The thing is that it is David. And so he was like, fuck yeah, Mafia remake. Cause he didn't even know that was a thing. And so I just like plopped it on the hard drive and I'm like, look, Mafia. And he's like, yeah. And he was super into it. The problem was that I couldn't get super into it because every 15 to 20 minutes, the game would just crash, dead, gone. That's it.
Ouch.
You're at the dashboard, done. And I'm like, cool. I didn't want to make it to a new checkpoint after all. It's fine.
Was that happening when he was playing, or did you just destroy technology?
No, no, it was happening when he played as well. I give him some super credit, because it takes a lot for David to get really invested in a game, but he was invested enough that he full-on beat Mafia 2 and the DLC. He was in there for it, and I'm just like, I don't know how you're putting up with it, because it was literally like, I could see him, my computer and the TV are like L-shaped, right? So like, I'm sitting here, and I can see him playing behind me, and I can see, like, every time it crashes, I see when it dashboards. And I'm just like, I'm annoyed for you. And he just pushed the button and started again, and I'm like, how? He was very into it and had the patience of Job. And me, on the other hand, I was like, why is everything washed out, super blue, oversaturated, and why is it just... I can't do this. It's crashing constantly. I was annoyed. Similar instance with Mafia 3, surprisingly enough, although the hard crashes were not as frequent. They happened, but it suffered more from micro freezes. And then the hard crash would come after, like, if you had a good run of about 10 micro freezes, you were in for a hard crash. And then it would just be gone. But it would crash, but not as frequently as Mafia 2. I don't know what the fuck happened here, you know?
No.
Like, I can't put my finger on it. I uninstalled the game, I reinstalled the game, I deleted my save, I restarted, which was hell. You know, I put it on the internal hard drive, put it on my external hard drive, put it on the solid state drive, just shuffled it around every which way. And I just couldn't get it to not crash constantly. If you've got the patience of Job, which apparently my husband found somewhere inside of him, I wish he would administer that patience to other aspects of our lives, but at least for the sake of Mafia, he found it and was able to get through it. So I can't necessarily say, well, it's completely game breaking and it's shot and you shouldn't touch it, but for a remake, it's got some issues.
No.
And like I said, in Mafia 3, those cropped up as well, although they were less frequent. But my biggest issue with Mafia 3, and Joe actually sent you a screenshot from one of them that David had sent me, but like everything in the game was like they had cranked the saturation up to 20, and it had like this overlaying blue hue. To the point that I started fucking with my TV settings because I thought something was wrong with my TV. And then I was like, no, the red bar in the bottom is still fine. So I don't think it's the TV. So I even eventually casted it through the console app to my PC so that I could see it on different screens, because I have two separate monitors, one calibrated for art and one that's just a normal gaming monitor. And no, shit, it was still super blue. And I don't know what setting they did. Like, I went into everything, tweaking those around. I was twerking them. Tweaking them around.
Twerk, bitch, twerk.
My accent kicked in there on tweak, and it come out really wrong. but I was tweaking them around, and it just, for whatever reason, I couldn't get that blue hue to cut down enough to make a difference. At times, there were a couple of scenes as well where it didn't just have that blue hue, but like everything that was supposed to look black looked blue. And if you've ever run any picture through a Photoshop app that posterizes it, or you've seen that posterized effect, then you'll know how, like, the colors don't blend in well together. Really dark, dark blacks have more of a green look to them. And then it would go from that green into the blue as well. It just looked really distorted. And I was so afraid. I was like, oh my God, my TV has fucked up. And I don't have the money for this right now. My truck has no transmission sitting in it. So I don't have time to deal with a broken TV. But then when I streamed it to my PC and it was doing the same thing. I was like, well, at least my TV is a bort.
No.
But that means I have to sit down and say, hey, this crazy expensive ass game series is bort. And I don't ever want to hear anybody say that I'm biased and that I say good things about games because they were given to them free. Because if there was one that I was going to do that to, it would be Mafia.
No.
Because that's a big ass title. Okay.
The remaster, it apparently just doesn't hold up. This is one of those games where I pre-ordered it. And when the first reviews came out that it was broken really bad, I actually refunded it. And I've been planning to wait until the remake of Mafia 1 comes out to get the set.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to see how good that one is. And that one's supposed to be $40 by itself.
Wow.
Yeah. So to get all three of them for 60, I think isn't that bad of a deal.
No, it's not. And it's hard for me to sit here and be like, you know, fuck this game. It was broken garbage. I don't want to do that at all. There's clearly some issues, but I mean, the game is there and it plays and you can click. I mean, even up till Jacob went to take his shit.
5 hours ago.
My husband was still sitting here playing the game. I was like, hey, I need you to like dip. I've got to record. And he was like, oh, yeah, it's that time, huh? And I was like, yeah, turn the fucking game off.
Turn off Smurf, turn off the Smurf Mafia.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, so I mean, it's playable. You just need to have the patience of Job for it.
That's the third time you've made that joke.
I know it because it's a really fit. I didn't have it. It
fits so well because it fits.
Yeah. Do you know how bad I feel, though, that you handed me a $60 game and like I was just so frustrated trying to get it to stay open that I couldn't play it? Why is this happening to me lately?
I ask that all the time.
Shit. Rocket Arena did this shit to me, too. At least I made it further in Mafia than Rocket Arena.
That makes me sad, because I really liked... I played Mafia 2, because it was in Games with Gold forever ago, and I actually really enjoyed that. I've not played any of the others. It makes me sad that it's not running very well.
Like, it just... I could easily pass it off and be like, look, I've got obscenely high standards and maybe you should listen to David instead of me, you know?
Not crashing is a pretty basic.
Not crashing is a basic standard, okay? And that one
that's high standards to have. Having a game that works? What? Yeah. Well, I got to ask you, $60 on it, what do you say?
I'm going to say deny it if you listen to my shit and you know what kind of games I like and would normally, like, if you accept that you feel the same way as I do about most games. I think there are people out there who are willing to suck it up and love the franchise and don't care, and for them it's a try it. Sure. You know, David clearly sucked it up and enjoyed the game.
Yeah.
But I think that's a very small minority of people.
Yeah, I guess we should say deny it for now until we know more about the original.
Who knows what's going to happen when the original comes out? They may patch all of it and be like, "Ah, shit, we fucked up."
Yeah.
And patch it all and then I'd be on here and be like, "Oh, I went through the whole series and got all the achievements and it was great." And who knows? But for right now in its current state, maybe wait. Okay?
Right. Well, we will revisit this one eventually when the first game comes out. So we will keep you updated on that. But moving on, next game to talk about is WRC9, developed by KT Racing, published by Nacon, released September 3rd on Epic Game Store, September 8th on Xbox One and PS4 for $49.99. The WRC license is back and even better this year with WRC9. Take part in the Calendar 3's new rallies and challenge the community with the customizable league system, then dive into the skin of a co-driver with the astonishing co-op mode. Jacob, tell us about your time with WRC9.
Well, to be honest, it hasn't changed much since the last game that I had to review. I still pretty much suck at it. However, it's a ton of fun to play. So, pretty much right off the bat, if you're wondering if this is... because I'm reviewing two racing games today. One of them is realistic, one of them is arcadey. This is the realistic one.
Yeah.
So naturally, I suck at it. So pretty much it's, you're doing rally racing, like Baja, you know, countryside kind of stuff. And you have to be with this kind of racing. Like, you're not racing a Ferrari. You're not racing, like, you know, anything.
Yeah, this isn't Forza. You're crazy. Racing rally cars.
Yeah, you know, you're racing a nice souped up, you know, Civic or, like, you know, a Ford whatever. I don't even know what my car was. It had Ford on the front. That's all I remember. Anyway, you know, and so you're racing it through the countryside. And, of course, your co-pilot or navigator is, you know, telling you, it's like, oh, well, left turn, 35 degrees, you know, mark 5, you know, and
dude, all these, do you know how quarters. Quickly I muted that fucking guy?
No.
Instantly.
Does that mean Jacob didn't know you could mute him?
Yes.
I went into sound settings. There's no actual, like, co-driver mute setting. You have to mute all of the voices, which removes all of, like, the tutorial voice acting as well. Which sucks because I like being lazy and having the game talk to me instead of read. But that's my biggest gripe with rally games is the fucking co-driver being like, check left, check 20, down, check, turn left, turn,
well, twice, on top of it,
up degrees, 20, check, down, left 40.
Well, on top of it, like, if you guys remember, like, my review of the previous game, my complaint was, part of it is that it's just like, if you're not familiar with all this rally stuff, like,
none of it makes sense.
Yes. And it's like, and one of my things was that it was just like, it would be really cool if these games had like some sort of tutorial for like Americans, you know,
ignorant American mode.
Yeah. I would appreciate ignorant American mode. So that it could be like, hey, when your co-driver is saying blah, 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 you know, that's what it means. Like, you know, I got the hang of it, but it's still like, I don't know. It was frustrating. But, of course, naturally, I also sucked.
You want to know what I had a really hard time getting a hang of? The handling in this game. It felt incredibly slippery to me.
Handbrake?
No, just handling in general. It felt like if I would breathe on the analog stick, I would turn in a direction. It felt so slippery to me.
Honestly, like, for me, it felt fine. Only because I really, you know, like, I finally stopped, like, trying to drive at full speed, and just, like, maintain, you know, a decent speed, but not too, like, too ridiculous. My issue was the handbrake, and I was just like, my God, like, you know, I would barely press it, and all of a sudden, like, I'm doing a donut out in the countryside. that was a little bit more sensitive than I thought it would be. But yeah, so it's like, and then of course it has a standard career mode stuff. And of course you have to hire your team. You have to have your mechanic, your meteorologist, your agent, your, you know, all this other kind of stuff, which they kind of explain, but then like, they're like, all right, well now you, with each race and all this other kind of stuff, you can earn experience and you can unlock, you know, different, like abilities and stuff like that, you know, to help your team along and stuff. And it's just like, it is this huge fucking point sheet that has at least like 100 different things. And it's the game. Like, I don't know. I wish the tree for it was more
intuitive,
you know, intuitive. I was going to say like user friendly, because it's just like, it is daunting to look at that thing and just be like, I don't know where to go with this next. Cause the game doesn't really like tell you.
No.
Again, it's, I think this is really for international, like, you know, not USA folks, you know, who already know the sport, already know what they're doing. I didn't get a chance with any online play, but, I did a few races.
I could not find any races when I tried finding online.
Well, but that's also standard for us though. Because I mean, a lot of these racing games, it's just like, we're not going to get them till day of release. Cause when I talk about Hotshot Racing, I actually couldn't find any games until this evening. Mm. So I'm assuming WRC will be the same. So I can't really talk about the online, but you know, it's similar to what I was playing with like NASCAR Heat 5. You know, you go through your career mode, you decide, you know, how you're going to spend your days. Race day comes, you either do really well or you suck. You know, which, where I was.
Sucked. Yeah.
I sucked. And then you just keep either doing well or sucking. And right now I'm hemorrhaging money. But
something I really enjoyed with the game was they had some really unique achievements this year. And I appreciate when games have fun with their achievements. Like, the first one I got in this game was to total my car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
First achievement. Hell yeah.
I was going to say, I thought that was the first achievement we got last year, too.
Probably.
Because I remember, like, there was this, like, one hill that we both, like, completely, like, wiped out on. But
they just eat shit on these roads.
Yeah.
Fly off the corner and just barrel roll down a mountain and explode into flames. The explosion's not there, just in my mind.
Although I will say this, like, I don't know if it was something that I just have to unlock later, but like I wasn't able to just tear around the countryside and just like have fun with the car. Like, I don't know if that was something I'm missing, but it was just like, I don't know. That would have been fun to just like get a better idea instead of having to wait for like race day and stuff like that, or hop into like just a random, you know, single player race. I just wanted to tool around in the car. That's all.
No.
I'm a little disappointed I couldn't do that. But as I said, maybe it's later in the game that that's a thing. I don't know. But
no, overall $50. I need a verdict.
If you like realistic racing games, totally. It's great. If you're not so good at realistic racing games and you're more of an arcade kind of guy, it's probably not going to be up your alley, but I do recommend it. For $50, it's definitely worth it. So, I mean, it's not my game of the year, but it's definitely on my list of games that I've reviewed that I would recommend to everybody. Sorry, guys. You know, my game of the year already came out. It's Yakuza 2. Nobody else can do any better than that. I don't care what else comes out between now and December.
Yeah, there's another Yakuza game coming out, right?
Oh, damn it. What if they both have to fight? They have to fight for first place. Dang it.
You know who's first place in my heart right now? No Time for Games for dropping 300 biddies. Norg, take it away.
Dropping bits!
Thank you, George, and thank you, No Time. Always appreciate seeing the biddies drop, even though they missed the cup. I still appreciate it. I appreciate you. Thank you. Next game to talk about is called Hot Shot Racing, developed by Lucky Mountain Games and Sumo Digital, published by Curve Digital, released September 10th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Hot Shot Racing is a blisteringly fast arcade-style racing game fusing drift handling, razor-sharp retro visuals, and an incredible sense of speed to create an exhilarating driving experience. Jacob, you covered this one, and our friend Serlina covered this one as well, so I'm going to read what she has to say, and then you can chime in when I'm done. Sound good?
It sounds good, although before you do that, I would just like to say, I am still first for that Wheeler Dealer achievement.
Yes, you did get an achievement before anybody else.
I will say that till the day I die, although now I'm not alone. There's three other people that have it, so I had a nice 5-day streak.
Nice. I am proud of you.
Thank you.
Anyway, Serlina says, "Why, hello there, SML friends and fans. It's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Hot Shot Racing for the Nintendo Switch. Developed by Lucky Mountain Games and Sumo Digital and published by Curve Digital, Hot Shot Racing is a retro racing game where you pick your choice of character, car, and track to prove who the best racer on the block is. Let's get to the review. And Eternal, thank you for the 50 biddies.
Welcome.
I just noticed that. Thank you.
Drop it, bitch. Oh my God,
that would be something nice.
Yeah. Anyway, in Hot Shot Racing,
nice you have almost every show. Thank you. Just not to you.
Got you there.
Well, anyway. Maybe one day I'll have a Christmas miracle.
No, you won't. In Hot Shot Racing, you have several game modes to choose from. There's Grand Prix, where you have four races to win a trophy, single race, where you choose your track, your laps, and the type of game you want to play, time trial, where you try to beat your best time on the tracks or load ghost cars from actual players, and online mode, where you can hop in with other intrepid internet racers in a quick race or ranked race. tons of things to do in this game, and I did quite a bit. Started out with the single race to see the different tracks and game modes. There are four zones, and each zone has four tracks, giving you 16 total. There's also a normal and mirrored mode for added difficulty, so you won't get bored anytime soon. The game modes are pretty simple. Arcade, where you race laps until there's a winner. Cops and robbers, where you race as a robber and try to avoid running into the cops. Or you're a cop and you try to stop the robbers. And there's driver explode, where you have a health bar and must drive above a certain speed limit, or you go boom. If you play any of these races, you get money depending on your placement. You can use that money to buy upgrades for your cars and outfits for your racers. There are several customizable options for the cars, and you're only limited by how much money you have and if you've completed the challenge associated with that choice. Want those specific colors for your car? Great, do some drifting and come back and get it. Luckily, drifting is super easy in this game and shouldn't take too long. There's also hidden challenges, which you'll find out about as you play. It was a treat to find those. Did I mention that you can play these modes in local multiplayer as well? Perhaps I should also mention that the game supports single Joy-Con mode, so you and a friend can play together if there's only one Switch. The game also supports motion sensor gameplay, but I couldn't get it to work. That could be failing on my part, but I'm turning the screen in handheld mode, yelling at the car to turn, and it wasn't happening. It didn't quite work for me, but I'm still happy it's there. Hotshot Racing has an impressive amount of variety for you to choose from. There are 8 different racers, each with different backgrounds and motivations for wanting to be the best racer. Imagine my surprise when I chose my racer Keiko from Japan because she's cute. She put on her helmet and did the hand heart sign over her heart and said inspiring words. I was like, Nani, these characters talk, not just in the screen, but during the races as well. They'll talk about taking damage, about the laps, about being first or last place. Plus, if you win the Grand Prix, you'll be delighted when you accept your trophy and watch a montage of your racer literally riding off into the sunset. It's great, and I loved it. What an exquisite touch to the game. Now, to balance out this praise, the game is just ugly. I'm sorry, I know it's retro and it's supposed to look like this, but my eyes were not pleased with the environs. Ugly is too strong a word, but it's very blocky. When you're racing, it's not a big deal because you don't have a lot of time to concentrate on a single thing. When you're racing, the scenery is almost charming, but when you're in the select screens, you can count every polygon, every line is filled with stress, and it just makes things look not great. I do highly advise that you don't look directly into the faces of the racers because it's almost nightmare fuel. Hotshot Racing is available on the Switch right now for $19.99 or $15.99 if you buy it on sale. And should you buy this? Yes, buy it emphatically. Okay, yes, the graphics aren't cute, but everything about the game is great. It's fun, easy to play. There's variety, unlockables, challenges, local, internet, multiplayer. What else can you ask from a racing game? Jacob, your thoughts?
I mean, she was exceptionally thorough on that. I had a ton of fun.
Isn't it crazy when someone's good at their job?
I know, right? I was just like, oh man, I should go back to, because like, I remember how I used to write in for the show, and I was just like, huh, maybe I should do that again. Then I like won't have to talk. That would be something, wouldn't it? You know, my throws, you know, my reviews would actually be coherent, and I wouldn't have to talk to Cole. It would be great.
It was. Then were the days.
I know. The days before I knew Cole. I was happy then.
Yeah.
All right.
Nobody believes that.
It's true. All right. So back to the game. So I'm pretty much in agreement with the gameplay. It's a ton of fun. I started off with the single player races, and just so I could like get used to everything. It's very much mid 90s. If anything, I'd liken it closer to like Daytona by Sega, that kind of retro racing.
Mm-hmm.
But Daytona. Yeah, like it's still like I didn't think that the graphics were ugly. however, they do start to blend in real quick. Especially like the mountain races, like they all just all the tracks just start looking the same, which is really unfortunate because I mean there's obvious differences with them, but you just don't know which one you're actually on, and it doesn't really matter because like once you get accustomed to your car in normal mode, like the normal mode is not particularly difficult. I was getting first place without even like having test driven some of these tracks. The rubber banding with it can seem a little bullshit at times, but at the same time, it keeps the competition fresh and, you know, makes the game exciting, because there were games where I was in first place, you know, a bunch of guys just like suddenly came up, you know, fucked me up. All of a sudden I'm in eighth place, and then I managed to get back into first place and win.
Nice.
So, and there's also achievement if you do that, but it's just like, it just makes for a thrilling game. And I had plenty of fun with it. I mean, the racers' backstories, yeah, like they'll talk about it, like with random bits of conversation, like random bits of dialogue, but it's nothing big. It doesn't really matter. It's whatever. Each racer has four cars, and they all vary from like how much their speed, acceleration, drift, and then the third car is just like this wild card, which could be all over the place, or the fourth car is the wild card one. But it doesn't really matter because, again, on normal mode, it's real easy to get first place with any of the cars, no matter your driving style. Drifting is, yeah, as she said, it's easy, and it really helps you get to first place with it and win. But pretty much all you need to do is just, like, to win, you need to save up two bars of drift and then just save them for the final lap, like, that final quarter mile, and you can just blow right past everybody. So it's not particularly difficult, but it's a lot of fun. Now, that's just regular racing. Cops and Robbers, that was a little confusing, because I wasn't exactly sure, like, because I was staying ahead of the cops, but then all of a sudden they just gang up on me, again, the rubber banding. And it didn't really make sense how you got turned into cops, but whatever. I mean, I was still having fun with it. And the time bomb thing, I thought that was kind of bullcrap with like the damage meter, because I was definitely still ahead of everyone. But if the AI is crashing into you, then you're going to get fucked anyway. And then you get a did not finish. Mm-hmm. So it's like, whatever. Online multiplayer, I finally got to do it tonight. And both sessions had, 8 out of 8 slots fill. It was nice. A ton of fun. Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Everyone's trying to wreck each other. And of course, like, I'm trying to, like, I wish I'd had my headset on, but, I just wish I could have told these people. It's like, guys, the more you wreck into me, the more my car is going sideways, and it just fills up my drift meter. All you're doing is pushing me forward and filling up my drift meter. Like, you're being idiots. I'll let them figure that out on their own. But it was a ton of fun. And like, even in the lobby, like, I was hearing chatter of like one person was like, oh my God, this is such a fun game. So that was a lot of, I'm glad that like, not only was I enjoying it, but people who were purchasing this on day one were also having a ton of fun. So
it's not just purchasers, because again, awesome thing about this game, it's part of Xbox Game Pass.
Right. Yeah, I forgot that detail. So it's just like, it's a ton of fun. Like, I love it.
Like, is it a ton of fun?
It is a ton of fun.
Then $20, what's your verdict?
Absolutely. And I think it is on sale right now, like she said, like Serlina said. But yeah, because I think it's $15.99, I believe. Yeah,
I don't know right how now. Long, though, so I never mention sales. Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's totally worth the $20.
Fucking cut you.
So.
Cool.
Fucking cut you. Cool.
All right. Well, that is it for you. Are you going to stick around or did you want to get going?
I want to get going. I don't want to hang out with you guys.
Ooh.
Fuck on out of here.
Good. I will.
Jacob, do you have any final words before we let you go?
Nah, just I'm super stoked about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So. You'll be getting a review from me on that one.
Nice.
So have a good night, folks.
Cool. Peace. All right. Next game to talk about is called Injection Pi 23. No name, no number. Developed and published by Abramelin Games. Fuck, I hate sure. names. Yeah, let's roll with that.
We'll roll with it.
Abramelin Games. We're going with that. Released September 9th on Xbox One for $11.99. Travel to the depths of a lonely mind that has lost contact with society and torments his own condition as a human being. Take control of a character who lives in seclusion with his dog, which he considers the only reason for his existence. Can you descend into the spiral of paranoia and madness to rediscover your happiness? Cole, this game sounds happy.
No.
No?
No. This game is very dark and very grungy and kind of disturbing. And it's a horror game, if you haven't figured that part out yet.
Shocking.
So, I do want to put a couple of things on the line here. There are some dark topics in this game. And if those dark topics fuck with your head, take that into consideration before picking it up. I feel like I have to preface every horror game with that at this point. But here it is. There's some dark shit. Also, Aki, don't play this. It will fuck your epilepsy right upside your head. It is the very opening sequence is just like a constant onslaught of flashing images and rapid cuts, and you can't skip it until it gets pretty far into it. I want to say I had an interesting quirk happen with this game that really threw me for a loop. When I first launched it, I couldn't press any button besides start game. And I pressed start game, and then I couldn't control the character. No button other than the start button for pausing would work. And I was like, how the fuck am I supposed to review this game if I can't do anything? So if you live in a household where people have multiple controllers, unplug all the others before you start to play this game with yours. Because it turned out that my kids had left the other controller plugged in. And even though my Elite is tied to my account, and I was signed in with only my account, it was picking up that other controller and wouldn't let my Elite do anything.
I've seen that happen in some games. I don't know what causes that, but yeah, that's irritating.
So it was a pain in the ass. I've run into it before, but it's been so long that I was sitting here going, what the fuck am I doing wrong? Why can't I play this game? And it was 100%. Just the other controller was plugged in and I didn't even notice it. So if that's an issue that you have, that there you have multiple controllers connected to your Xbox at any given time, just make sure the other ones are turned off before you try to play Injection. The other thing that I want to bring up, now I said something kind of iffy about it, the negative. I need to do a compliment sandwich here, okay?
Okay.
So for my compliment sandwich, I'd like to point out that there is one really, really cool aspect of this game. And that is you have total control over your perspective. Dynamically, at the push of a button, should you get your button working, you can change from first person to third person to tank cameras. There's like 7 different perspective options. And they're all tied to the D-pad. So you can just, on the fly, decide, oh, I want tank controls, and press the button and play the game with tank controls. Or if you go, holy fuck, tank controls suck, I don't want this, because tank controls suck, by the way. fixed cameras suck, by the way. and you decide you want it to be first person, push the button and do that. Or if you are at a part and you think, fuck, I can't figure out how to do this, and you feel like you might be missing something because you're in first person, switch to third. That's a super neat mechanic, and I can't believe that there aren't more AAA games that don't fucking do that. Like, just a push of a button, and I was in a different perspective. And sometimes, especially when you're trying to solve puzzles in a horror game, that helps. So I was down for that. Now, my compliment sandwich is inverted, and my compliment was in the middle, and it's going to be bookended by complaints, because that's kind of where the good parts end to this game.
Oh, no.
It's a rough night for me. I can kind of forgive that Injection. That's all I'm going to call it, is Injection. The whole rest of the name, it's too much. It's a mouthful. It's Injection.
Okay.
So I can forgive that it's not like top of the line pretty, right? It's a horror game. And we all know that a lot of the reasons devs make horror games is because A, they love horror games. B, they love classic tank control S, Resident Evil style horror games. And C, because they're cheap to make. They don't take a lot of effort. They don't have to look pretty. Everything is shrouded in darkness and blood. It's fine. Okay. And you kind of expect that with a horror game. And Injection is like, yep, we went all in on the darkness and blood and gross. And that's fine. The problem is that because everything is so overwhelmingly dark and so overwhelmingly just covered in blood, it's kind of hard to actually see the shit you should be interacting with. Now, it does pop up a hand icon when you can't. If you go into the options and turn it on, why you would turn that off, I don't know. But you can turn it on and it will at least let you interact with it, correct? But the problem is that it's a dark red hand over black. And it can be kind of hard to see, even under the best of circumstances. Even if you weren't already panicking that your TV was broken, you would still be like, I can't see that shit. And there were a lot of times where, if it weren't for the fact that it was a plain white sheet of paper, I would have just completely gone past something. It got to the point where anytime I saw something white that could resemble a sheet of paper, I was trying to click on it, whether it was or not, whether it was something I could pick up. Because a lot of the collectibles and a lot of the story is told in these little notes and stuff that are hidden around, and they look flat on the ground. That you would think they were part of the scenery and not actually something you could interact with, unless you had accidentally done it several times, like I did. There is voiceover work in this game. I will give them credit for that, but I will also take credit away for that, because they didn't localize the voice work. So it's there, but it's all in, I believe it's either Spanish or Portuguese. I should have looked it up. I don't know. I just forgot. Normally I would do that. But it is not in English. So the subtitles are. And the translation leaves a little bit of something to be desired. There are definitely parts where it's roughly translated and things kind of get lost in translation. It's kind of like they ran it through Google.
No, I was going to say it's not fair to dock them points for not being an English dub-wise.
But I mean, but if
it's not
people,
in English, yeah, the translation has to be up to par.
Yeah. And a lot of times devs will reach out to their community and go, hey, is there somebody that can translate this? But it just kind of looks like they run it through Google and hoped for the best. Yeah. And that's even so far as the collectibles that you will pick up, even those have not been translated. So there's like an overlay that'll lay over top of them. And it's white text over top of black text over top of white text. They didn't like put it in a box with some kind of opacity behind it so that it would stand out away from it or anything. It's just white text over black over white, and you're like, it's really hard to read. and that's for somebody like me who doesn't. I mean, I wear glasses, but I'm not visually impaired beyond just glasses. But if you did actually have some kind of visual impairment, you would be fucked trying to read this game or navigate it at all. Even with help, I think you would struggle quite a bit. And that's a shame. It's because I think there's some good to be had. As far as a horror game goes, it holds its weight. And you can see where there's definitely inspiration from games like Amnesia and from games, you know, the classic Resident Evil games, obviously, with the tank controls and the fixed cameras and stuff. You can see where all that inspiration has been, right?
Yeah.
And yet somehow it just doesn't come together the way you would hope for it to. There is some combat. Because everything else about the game is so slow and there aren't any options for like sensitivity settings or anything like that, it felt a little jankier than it needed to. I didn't see if this was a one-man show. It's entirely possible it was. And, you know, I can kind of forgive a lot of the issues if it's just like one dude out here doing his thing. But at the same time, there's a lot on the plate that just goes, you need some more polish and you need a little more work. No.
Well, overall, $12 on this thing. What are you thinking?
At $12, it's a little easier to forgive that it's janky. You know, like I can look past some of the jank and even maybe some of the rougher translating issues. It's not a $40 game. And I've seen some that would be priced that way that played like this, but it does still, like, you've got to be whole hog invested into playing a horror game like this to want to pick it up. So it's a very niche thing that only a fan of it is going to want to flock to. So I'm gonna give it a kind of mediocre try it if I can.
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to love it just more than it allowed me to, but it did have some really, really neat ideas in there, too, at the same time.
So maybe a future game will be more polished.
Yeah, everybody starts somewhere, right? Yeah. So.
All right, well, next game to talk about is called Deleveled, developed by Toaster Fuel Games, published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild, released September 10th on Xbox One and Switch for $9.99. Master momentum in this unique jumping game that features no jump button. Preserve your potential energy and fall to new heights as you solve these clever puzzles and maneuver your way to victory. Cole, tell us about Deleveled.
Do you remember Ip and Op on the Switch?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
What was that, like... Right back at the beginning of quarantine, so spring, was it? Or was it further back than that?
Time has no meaning.
Time does not exist anymore. Yeah. So Deleveled reminds me very much of Ip and Op. But it's kind of like a scaled down visually Ip and Op, while the difficulty is cranked to 700. So if you're not familiar with the game that I'm referencing here, the way that Deleveled plays is that you have a level that is split by obstacles. And you have a box on the top and a box on the bottom. Whichever way you move the box on the top, the box on the bottom goes along. Whatever way you move that box on the bottom, the box on the top goes right with it. So they are linked together. This means that the levels are laid out in such a way that you may be able to have one side drop down off of a platform, which gives the other side momentum to go over a platform or under it, as the case may be. And you need to use that ability to navigate the level in such a way that you are putting hitting switches and opening up different means to exit the level. So once you've hit the proper switches, then it will like open up a blue portal, and you can go through that. And sorry about that. My sister's messaging me, and I had to make it go away. Nice. It was popping up in my ear. Ding, ding, ding. I'm like, I can't think. Stop messaging me. But once you hit all the switches, then it opens up a blue level, and you can go through it, and you go to the next level. So there's a couple quirks to this, though. The teleporters initially will always be kind of even together. And so as long as you're like keeping the blocks together and not separating them dramatically, you're going to get close enough that you can get out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it gets more difficult. They introduce spikes. Fuck, spikes suck. They introduce holes that you can go through. And if one square leaves its respective side, then it's going to go flying off the board and you got to start all over again. Sometimes you will need to purposely separate the blocks in certain ways so that they are actually going in different directions enough that you can make them, go to different sites to get to the teleporters. You can restart over and over and over again, and that's fine. If you die, however, if you hit the spikes, if you go off of the map, if you get stuck in such a way that you do a quick restart, you do lose your star for the level. And this was the point where I was like, oh shit, this sucks. And this is just a me thing. Like, the game itself plays fine. The levels are genius. They're really well done. Difficult, but well done. And I'm okay with everything up to this point. And this is just me going, I hate when I'm blocked off from progress because I had to restart levels. So it hit a point where I needed a certain amount of stars to move on to the next phase. And that meant going back and redoing levels until I did them without needing to restart or dying. That's just a pet peeve. Like, if I did it, let me go. You know?
No.
I don't like being pinned back to, you did it, but you didn't do it perfectly. That's a personal quirk. I just don't like that kind of block off. For somebody with my condition and where I get fatigued and stuff, redoing a level over and over and repeating those motions is really hard for me.
No.
And so I just don't like that. I know there's other people who don't give a fuck, and that's fine. As a puzzler and as a platformer, I guess you would consider it a platformer as well, then it's really good. I just don't like the quirk of it being blocked off and being forced into that.
No.
Beyond that, it's very minimal. It's pretty simple. It's something you can put your feet up and play for a little while and be like, yeah, I played it, next, and, you know, go back to it when you want to. But if you're actually going to progress and get through all the levels and actually get those stars and unlock shit, then you're going to have to make a time commitment to do it over and over.
And I would say good luck, because I'm looking at the achievement stats, and apparently no one has completed World 7 yet out of 10. Yeah,
it gets insanely hard.
Yeah,
it
and
really does.
There's achievements to perfect all the levels in every world.
I would assume that is why people haven't made it past World 7, is because they haven't perfected it, so they don't have enough stars to go. And we already know what I feel about that.
Yeah. I do not like gating off content.
I will say, too, I was already like, well, Ivanov did this and it had online multiplayer. And D-Level does not. So in a way, in my head, I was like, this would have been a lot easier if I'd had a friend.
No. But then that's a completely different game, too.
It is, too. But I was just like, at the same time, the whole time I was playing, I was like, I've been spoiled because I know I could do this with a friend.
No. That just completely changes the entire mechanics of the game, though. So
does.
You want a completely different game instead of the game that you've been
given. No, I want the game that I've been given, but I want somebody to do the other half for me.
Well, $10, I need a verdict.
I think for $10, it's fine. It is insanely hard. Know that going into it. You got to have some kind of willfulness to sit and do this shit over and over until you do it perfectly. But other than that, I'm cool giving it a recommended try. It.
Cool. And it's on sale for $8 for the next week. So
yeah,
there you go. Next game to talk about is called The Monsters Expedition, developed by Dracnet and Friends, published by Dracnet. Released September 10th on Steam for $19.99, an adorable and relaxing open-world puzzle adventure for monsters who love to learn about humans. Aki, tell us about A Monster's Expedition.
It's my turn!
Yes. Yes, it is. Don't make me regret this.
Too late! You were already regretting it before you started reading off the description, and we both know it. Let's not lie here.
Yeah, that's true. So tell us about A Monster's Expedition.
You play as a monster with an interdimensional backpack. There's no purpose for that. It's just an interesting little fact.
Yay.
Yeah, you're on tiny little islands, effectively. Each one has a tree, or more than one tree. Depends on how unlucky you are. If you're lucky, it's only one, because that makes life easier. And you push the tree over and then move the tree in a direction to make a pathway to get to the next little island. when it's on its side where it looks like it can roll, it will roll all the way to the end and off the island, which is sometimes good, usually not so much, and you gotta restart because you just did the fucked up. And if you're flipping it top over side, it moves one at a time. So that's all the puzzle mechanics there really are. You push it into the water where it needs to go in a direction that you can walk across it to the next area. That's the entirety of the mechanics of the game. Eventually you get longer trees. Sometimes you have to push two trees into an area and they get tied up and make a raft. So you can push yourself to another island, or so you can walk across it to get areas, because you can't just flick it over the direction you actually need it to be. Things like that. The entire expedition part of it is he's effectively in a museum that's on the outside instead of being in a building, because monsters thought that it was stupid to have them in a museum because it would require dusting. If they just left everything outside, they don't have to dust the inside of a building. And he's finding just on not every island, but most islands, there's something from the human world that they've cordoned off, so you can read a plaque and read what their thoughts are on it. And they never fucking understand what it is. And it's hilarious. Like one, they, shit. What were some of them? I can't remember what any of them are off the top of my head anymore. God, that's bad. Cause I read them and they were fucking hilarious. Well, they had one that was a museum, like a little model of a museum. And that's where I got the information that they just leave everything outside, because if you put it inside, then you have to do dusting, and fuck that. And then another one was there was a backpack, and they're like, yeah, humans didn't understand interdimensional design at all yet. It's like, all right, cool. So it's kind of like their take on what they think humanity used all this stuff for. Kind of like how we look at what we think people way, way in the past thought, what we thought they used things for, whether necessarily we're right or not. And it's just really funny. It does get obscenely hard as you continue through the levels. Also, you go through different type of islands. The starting ones are just like little forests, effectively, that only have like a tree or two in them. But then you eventually get to things that resemble swamps, or there's areas where everything's effectively in autumn and things like that. And that's the entirety of the game. There's no real story to it. It's just you going around solving puzzles. You can get around on the map, because everything is connected. You can go everywhere. There are different points on the map where there's an old-style circular mailbox that your character transports to other mailboxes with. I don't know how that works. I don't care. It's funny. It's really cute, so I'm all for it. And that's pretty much the entirety of the game, is just solving the puzzles and reading funny things.
Hey, sometimes that's all you need. So $20 on it, what do you think?
Hell yeah. I think you'll... I have not gotten to the end of this. I think you will probably be able to get 10 or so hours out of this.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm totally for it. I think just all the writing in this is, for the most part, hilarious. And the puzzles are fun. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Totally buy it.
Awesome. I am all for No Time for Games dropping another 50 bits in chat. Pernell, take it away. No, Norg, take
it
away.
Drop it, bitch!
Fuck it, Pernell, take it away, too.
Fucking yeah!
How about Mark Hoppus? Take it away.
Come for the streaming. Stay for the hot takes on Webpack Takes.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, we're just playing all the sound effects tonight. That's all we're doing.
Nice.
I have problems. Next game to talk about is called Monster Blast, developed and published by Entwickler X, released September 11th on Xbox One for $6.99. It's all about blasting monsters on randomly generated maps. You are shooting your path to find the exit and move on to the next level. Cole, tell us about Monster Blast.
This is a twin stick, roguelike monster shooter. Just like if you took, basically any other game of that genre and made it voxel art, you would have Monster Blast. It's I don't want to say that it's like a groundbreaking game in any kind of capacity, but that's okay. They don't always have to be. What they do have to be is fun, and Monster Blast does a pretty damn good job of being that. I want to give them some serious props right out of the gate for having difficulty settings, which isn't always the something that games of this genre don't have, but it's a rarer setting to have around. And not only is there difficulty settings, there's a kid's difficulty. And it makes the game playable for basically any age. And I was like, holy shit, I'm on board for this. I played it on normal. You can, yes, Carnage said you can get achievements on kids difficulty. If you're a bitch, you can do that.
I'm a bitch, I'm fine with that.
I played it on normal and got through it, and it was fine. And if my arthritic ass can do it, any grown-ass adult can. I did put it on kids difficulty and let number 3 play it. Initially she was like, this is so easy, because that's how she is. And you got to remember that even though she's 7, she has played Super Meat Boy. So she has really high standards for difficulty. But it did, even in the later levels, it ticked up enough in difficulty where she was like, oh, I might actually die a time or two. As you progress through the levels, it's standard twin stick roguelike layout, but in voxel art form. So you begin in one room, you take out the enemies. Interestingly enough, the chests or rewards don't pop up after you clear the room. They're just there and you can get them at any time. That took some getting used to. I'm so used to like the prize for clearing a room not showing up until the room is clear.
No.
Not walking into a room being like, oh, look, 4 chests. There they are. Hanging out in case I don't know, need an assault rifle. When you start the game, you start off level 1. You are garbage pants. You have low health. You have a pistol. You are meant to die a few times and earn experience and build yourself up. If you're playing it on kids, that's not an issue. if you're playing on normal, you're more prone to run into an issue here or there. And there are definitely some spikes in difficulty as you move through the worlds because the enemies just get naturally harder, and the game has expected you to pick up enough experience that you get to unlock a permanent upgrade like additional health. Every time you level up, you get to choose whether you're going to take additional health, additional damage power, or luck. I put all of my points into health immediately, maxed that out, went to damage. Probably not the smartest idea I could have done, because I was whacking at shit with a pistol and I didn't realize that upgrading my damage meant I went from getting a pistol to getting a fucking assault rifle from the start.
Nice.
That was kind of dumb of me. And I wish I had known that outright. That, like, you go from, oh, I've got one pistol, to, oh, I've got two pistols, to, oh, I've got an SMG or a shotgun or an assault rifle. And I was like, this would have been a lot easier.
So invest in damage.
Okay. Invest equally And also invest in luck, because that's how often additional guns drop. And guns dropping at random on the map is the greatest thing, because you're rolling around trying to shoot these fuckers with pistols, and then all of a sudden you've got a grenade launcher, and like the next 8 rooms are cleared without you even trying. I am all for anything making me OP, and luck will do it real fast.
Nice.
Got it. Bosses come up every couple of levels. The boss layout is a little odd, because for me, it's like clear floor, take out a boss, clear floor, take out a boss. But that's not the way that Monster Blast goes at it. Instead, it's like clear floor, get a shit ton of rewards, clear another floor, hope you still got some of those rewards, because now you're at a boss. And if you use up your rewards to get to that boss, sucks to be you. So that's kind of an odd layout for me, that the bosses aren't like every floor. They're scattered out a little more.
Ooh, I get to play a fun game for the rest of the night. It's called Let's Hope My Power Doesn't Go Out Because There's a Really Bad Storm.
I am trying to hurry.
I just heard thunder and it's just picking up now.
This
should be fun.
It's not an overly complicated game. It's pretty, you know, pick it up, play it, and roll through it as you will and enjoy it. I think it's suitable for all levels of roguelike twin stick mayhem, and whether or not you are proficient in it enough, you can still manage to knock it out and get the completion if you want to play it on kids mode like Carnage and be a bitch.
Well, overall, $7. What do you say?
$7. If it weren't so good enough to justify a buy it, I'd be like, fuck it, why not? Because at that price and how solid it is, then fuck it, why not? But it is good enough to justify a buy it. And I say that as somebody who particularly doesn't even like voxel art. Like, I saw the twin stickness. I was so torn. I was like, twin stick roguelike, voxel art. Twin stick roguelike, voxel art. And I was like, fuck it. And then I was glad I went for it anyway.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
All right, next game to talk about is Batu to Batu, developed by EasySD, published by two awesome partners, released September 2nd on Xbox One, 4th on the Switch for $4.99. Batu to Batu is a colorful tile puzzle game for one to four players. Slide, combine, and match the tiles of the same color through hundreds of levels and several game modes. Cole, tell us about Batu to Batu.
I remember when I said I don't like for progress to be hindered by, perfection?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep that in mind for later.
Boy.
So, Batu to Batu is, I don't know what the fuck that name translates into, but the way that you play it is really simple, and yet if you're actually going to master the game, you're going to have to put some time into it, okay? And here's why. This is a puzzle game. I would put it like in line with a game like Tetris. Only rather than trying to fit shapes, you're trying to fit blocks of colors in with swatches of color. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you start off with a square in the middle of the screen, and it has 4 blocks in it. I already practiced explaining this because I taught number one how to play it with me, because there's multiplayer achievement. So you have a box in the middle of the screen with 4 blocks in it. And there is a color swatch to the top, to the left, to the right, and to the bottom. Okay?
Okay.
Now, your 4 blocks are different colors. And they will match those color swatches. So you need to move them around to line up so that a block touches the color swatch that it matches. When you do that, it poofs and you get a new block. All right. Easy peasy. Except 4 color swatches isn't enough. They got to go and fuck with you. And they throw in a 5th at the top. All right. Just to make it a little more challenging. Fuck it. Why not? Now, here's where the quirk comes in. For whatever reason, you can't like highlight a block with the left thumbstick and then use the right to push it toward the corresponding color. No, no, no. That'd be too easy. What they want you to do instead is press Y if you want to move it up, press B if you want to move it right, A if you want to move it down, and X if you want to move it to the left. You have to use your face buttons like a directional pad, right?
Okay.
That took some getting used to.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be awkward.
And remember how I said that there's 5 colors and not just 4?
Mm-hmm.
But there's only 4 face buttons. So the way that they handle this is that you have to, if you have the second color that needs to go up to the top, instead of just pushing Y twice or whatever, you have to pull the left trigger and then press Y.
Hmm.
And that will send it up. Why? What is the point of this button combination? I do not understand. It took forever to learn, and then it took even longer to teach to my kid.
And yeah, this sounds like a weird one.
Because, like, there's a multiplayer achievement, and I was like, I need you to survive long enough for me to drop 4 blocks on you. And she couldn't do it, and I couldn't do it with the controller alone, and so I had to sit and wait for her to catch up to my level of 3 days of playing this game. Where, like, I had the muscle memory, it was just throwing shit around, I was like, block, block,
and you're
block,
like, get block, good, block. Scrub, Jesus.
And I'm like, you're driving me nuts. You got to keep up. I keep winning the game before I can get the achievement for dropping this shit on you. incredibly stressful. I should have, like, had her playing with me from the start, but all right, only endless mode is unlocked in the beginning. And you have to play endless mode. There's an achievement for playing Endless Mode 5 times. You're going to have to play it more than that if you actually want to unlock anything. And there are a ton of different modes for Batuta Batu. I didn't get to experience but like a third of them, because it took so many coins to unlock them that even though I was just killing it and doing great in endless mode, it still wasn't enough. The amount of payout for coins was so low that it took forever to actually get enough coins to unlock anything. I think one of the first two that you can unlock are 500 coins each, and it took me over 7 games just to unlock one of them. Of endless mode.
Wow.
And then to top that off, they eventually go up to where you need 1,000 coins to unlock, and you need 2,500 coins. Jordan says he unlocked everything quick. Congratulations. I didn't. Yeah, that's okay. He played a local multiplayer game, let it time out. So he cheated.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. That's not actually unlocking things quick. That's just letting the game run out of time and not playing it. If you're going to review the game, you should probably actually play it.
Yeah, that's a smart idea.
Which was what I was trying to do. I will say it's actually a quick completion. You don't have to unlock all this shit to actually complete the game. You can get all the achievements really quickly if you if that's what you're going for. If you actually want to play it and get through and see what the different modes are, you're a little more out of luck. It's going to take time. That said, I really, really enjoyed the game. And I was kind of sad that it was so easy to complete so quickly, because it was hard to like justify forcing number one to play it more to get good enough to keep up with me, because I really wanted to play it multiplayer. And she was just like, I don't have time for this. I'm trying to do independent learning through 2 days in school. And I'm like, God, you're so whiny about your education shit.
Yeah, I gotta learn.
Look at you trying to get degrees.
Fucking kids.
So yeah, I mean, it was... if you want to actually like get into it and play it, it's there for you to do that, but you just acknowledge that there's going to be a time commitment unless you want to cheese it like a jackass and unlock everything without putting any kind of effort in.
No. Well, $5 on it. What do you say?
I'm going to go with a buy it. I had a good time with it. I would love to just load it up and sit down and play it somewhere just for shits and giggles.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, one final game to talk about tonight, and it is time for SML After Dark. We are getting naughty once again with Mosaic Neku Waifus 3, developed and published by Little Hentai Games, released August 27th on Steam for $1.99. Anime girl puzzle RPG microvisual novel. Four cute Neku girls want to know all about you. Puzzles, RPG, collectible items that boost your skills. Aki, tell us all about it.
I like these games. Big shocker. This one was another really good one. It has the visual novel-esque choices after you beat the puzzles, which all give you different items that help increase your stats. I really like that. And all the characters moved in all the puzzles, which is really cool. I like that as well. It makes it a lot easier to solve puzzles when they're not static images, considering when you have to do it to static images, there's always that chunk that has nothing fucking in it, but there is a correct goddamn way it has to be positioned. So much easier when something goes through it on occasion. It's like, oh, that's the direction it's supposed to go. Yay! This one does amp up the naughtiness a bit in it. It does show scenes of sex, full-blown sex, like uncensored dick and vag.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it gets naughty.
Yeah, this is the naughtiest one so far, and I'm all for that.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these are the free R18 DLC that you can get. I can't show these screenshots on stream.
Yeah, in most of the other games, the 18 plus patch was just like you got to see them naked. Maybe they might be spreading themselves open and stuff. But there wasn't full on sex in it. This one has gone straight for the sex and
goes hardcore.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
And I'm all for it.
We know only, you are.
Yeah, the only drawback I have for this one is that there's only four girls in it, and most of the other ones, you get a lot of puzzles. This one has significantly less. I think the one before this had like six different girls, and then on top of their complete sets, you also had each one of them, another whole set was two of them. In each one, there was like two or three of those sets as well. In this one, there's just the four. And that's it, which is really sad. There is plenty of puzzles in them, but no more than any of the prior ones, which had more sets.
Nah. So it leaves you wanting more.
Yeah, I'm all for catgirl titty. I'm fine with that. So, yeah.
Well, then, for, as Carnage says, for a fuck 99, what do you say?
Fuck all day long. Yes.
I fucking love these games. I love that we get to cover them. Shout out to Little Hentai Games for letting us cover their games. And shout out to 2K for letting us cover Mafia.
You know, for anyone here who likes the dirty games, you are welcome. It all started because I wanted that fucking Nympho Monster Dungeon game or whatever it was, and I'm still playing that game. and it has just expanded from there. You're all welcome.
Nice. So
terrible.
All right. Well, that is our episode. goddamn, another 2-hour episode.
You're welcome. I mean, in all fairness, a lot of that was news. I mean,
and Jacob pooping.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I think that was probably about half. It felt like it was about half of it was just news this time.
Yeah, about that. I don't know. What are you going to do?
It's not too bad.
We need some final words to end this thing. Anyone got any?
Fuck 99.
Fuck 99.
I like that one. Good job, Carnage. You did something right, finally.
No, he didn't.